Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed. From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. Now it's time for a Spotlight Star Wars with your host, Ken Knapsack.
All right, Spotlight Star Wars fans, here we are. I believe this is the 144th edition of the show that's been stretching the entire run of the modern Star Wars era. It's my chance to, I always say, monologue from me to you about my love of Star Wars, my unique journey that hopefully you find similar to yours. Shared unique journeys. It's something we've been talking about here on Force Center for a bit in the last couple weeks at least. But this is a little bit different. I love occasionally bringing someone on for a nice little chat about Star Wars or about the world around Star Wars, about creating things about Star Wars, celebrating Star Wars and finding the fun. And this next guest returning to Force Center does all of those things consistently and actually produces some of my favorite Star Wars content out on the internet and as well as other things. And we can even talk about branching on beyond Star Wars. Please, Force Center fans, please welcome back to the show the wonderful Jamie Stangroom. Jamie, how you doing, buddy?
Hello, mate. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
You and I were trying to catch up off air too. We're hanging in there, which I believe is a good thing right now, you know?
It is. Survival. If you're surviving, I think 2020 stroke the first part so far of 2021. If you're surviving, you're winning.
You're winning. Winning big.
Surviving's enough right now.
Winning big. We're also releasing this video on YouTube, but an actual video. You can see our faces. Something we might do more of here on Force Center, but we love rebroadcasting our podcast as well. So if you're watching on YouTube, make sure you check out the podcast as well. Jamie, I don't want to bury the lead. We are here to really talk about one particular project that I know you've been working on for a very long time, but time of this recording, episode one of this YouTube series is out. More coming. It is your new show, Lightspeed Tonight, with Waymer's What? Am I saying that name right?
You could be, because there's no like official way, there's no canon way of saying it yet, but Waymerus says Waymerus, and I think it came, I mean, that's what I've gone with, that's what Waymerus has gone with, because I'm not confirming or denying that I am Waymerus Watt, but let's just pretend I am, let's just say I am Waymerus Watt, I do play Waymerus Watt. The name actually came from one of those quizzes, those Star Wars, find your Star Wars name quizzes. I was messing around with one of those because I hate coming up with names for titles of shows or, you know, I'm not used to coming up with names for characters. I was struggling and just did one of those quizzes and it came out of some sort of formula there anyway.
Yeah. No, that's a great idea because everyone knows if you want your Star Wars name, it's some kind of, you know, you could be, you know, Luke Skywalker is the silliest name in the world and we all love it and it works, but it's pretty silly. It's a pretty silly name. So Star Wars names have that, but I like that one. That one actually really works. So what is that, like your dog and street's name or something? Is this your sex worker name as well?
I think it's that. I think it was exactly that, yeah. Purely my sex worker name, mixed with my third dog's name. It wasn't the first name that came out. I definitely had to do some sort of tinkering. I can't really remember because to be honest, at that stage I didn't really think I was going to make this thing.
Really?
It was a lockdown pipe dream.
Oh, yes. We've all had the things to accomplish in a worldwide lockdown dreams. So let me reset it for those who haven't had a chance to watch it yet, because this actually might be your first introduction if you're listening or watching. So Jamie put together a little, right now it's a three-part comedy series, hopefully more. I'm hoping for more. We'll talk about that at the end. It is the easiest way, it's satire. Jamie's always so good at satire, I believe. You're a master of the craft. This is also a little parody as well. Last Week Tonight with John Oliver on HBO, this is Lightspeed Tonight, Man at Desk, commenting on Star Wars, right?
Yeah. So Wimeris Watt is that man at the desk, and he's commenting on the news in the Star Wars universe in the period of time, to begin with anyway, of The Phantom Menace. So the first three episodes that you mentioned are all set within the Phantom Menace timeline. And it really, the idea came from lockdown to begin with. We're now just coming out of lockdown three. The trilogy is complete in the UK. And this hair represents all three lockdowns. I mean, the barbers have been open between lockdowns, but I couldn't get around to it. You know, I was busy enjoying being allowed out of the house. I didn't want to go into a barber's. It really has been three lockdowns in the making. And I was chatting to, because, you know, I'm trying to do more with the YouTube channel, like a lot of people have, with lockdown and, you know, losing lots of, normal work, I guess. So like many, many people, was left in a difficult position work-wise, and to a certain extent still am, as, we slowly but surely creep back towards normality. Yeah. And I wanted to do more on the YouTube channel, but I don't have no problem with them, but I don't do reaction videos. I don't really do newsy type videos on a regular basis. I'll do the odd kind of milestone, review or what have you. I enjoy those types of videos, but I just don't feel comfortable doing things like reaction videos, for example. So I'm always trying to think of complicated videos to make that will then only hurt me in the long run, because they'll take so long to make when I could have released 20 reaction videos in that space of time. And I was chatting to my mate Vince, who I've worked with before, and just said, what would TV be like in the Star Wars universe? What would they be watching on TV? And I like Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. I don't know it that well, though, because, I mean, I'm sure we'd get it somewhere on the telly box in the UK, but it's not easy to find. I don't watch it. And also, I know the big stories in American politics, but I don't know the everyday domestic story. So a lot of it I can't really relate to. So I guess my relationship with John Oliver is when he does the big kind of monologues on Brexit or Trump that we understand over here, or at least I understand over here. So clips on YouTube, clips on social media. And Vince is a big fan. John Oliver, by the way, he and I are from the same part of the UK and support the same football team. So it seemed like it was coming together. And Vince is a big fan, though. And we decided that was really the reason we went for that sort of format, was because it seemed the easiest to replicate, because I, being completely on my own in lockdown, basically using essentially a shed green screen, like a pasting table, for like the wallpaper. Like one of those that I put like black kind of like fake wood, effects on. And there we go. It just seemed like an easy, simpler format to try and replicate.
Yeah, no. And again, you can retell parts of the Star Wars story. You can dig into it. You can have some fun with it, which you do. And, putting together, it can be a little daunting. And especially as a Star Wars fan, like you are, like you want to maybe get it right. Make sure you're respecting it. While also, if you're poking a little fun at the story, and I think you always ride that line so well. Your Empire Strikes Door doc is taking a very important part of Star Wars lore, and just having a lot of fun with it while also celebrating it. So I think you found that. You found that lane with this project, but you talked about you just didn't have confidence in yourself that you were going to get it done, or is it just the horns of the Deveronian character you've created for yourself were daunting? How did you push past not wanting or feeling like you couldn't complete it?
I don't know, to be honest. I mean, I'm not an actor, and that's why be honest, if we weren't in a lockdown, I would have asked a local actor mate, you know, to play Whomerus Watt, and they could put on a vocal performance, you know, and really create a character. But we didn't have that luxury. So yeah. Whomerus Watt is basically just me with face paint on. You know, I'm not changing my voice or anything. I didn't want to attempt to. Maybe I could have pulled it off, but yeah. I didn't want to attempt to. I'm not confident. Yeah. I'm not an actor. And so all I could do was do a slightly exaggerated version of me.
Yeah.
Really. And Star Warsify it. In terms of the language at times. And the picture I had in my mind,
yeah,
I could never have probably produced, you know, even if I did have more than just me, one man and his camera in a hot shed with face paint dripping off him. I don't think I could have produced that picture anyway. I think we do that, don't we? Always set up, you know, our visions too high. And I don't know, it just seemed like something that, and I filmed it a long time ago. And
there
was a few disasters, getting to actually finish filming it. I was making it up as I went along. Apart from the script process, which you're involved with.
Yeah.
After the script, I was making it up as I went along.
But look, what you're describing is a very Star Wars like story. You have the script, you have the story, but you're trying to figure it out. You're breaking new ground. And then when you're done with it, you're like, that was nowhere near what I envisioned. So you're like George Lucas. You are George Lucas.
Absolutely. I'll take it. I'll take it.
Whomerus Watt is a Deveronian, which I think that species in Star Wars has gotten some new life thanks to Clancy Brown's character in Mandalorian season one. So what made you go with that creature? Was it the easiest to replicate or the hardest and you wanted to tackle it?
To be honest, it was the former. So much like Last Week Tonight seemed like the simplest format to at least attempt to replicate. This character seemed like the easiest species to replicate because I do edit these. I have limited editing skills and learned a lot on the go, especially with green screen. I don't do much green screen. I knew I wouldn't be able to do anything, you know, animation wise. If I was to wear a mask, I wouldn't be able to make the mouths move. And I have friends who might be able to help, and you kind of think, well, people are in lockdown, especially in the first lockdown when things were really closed down. They've got time now, but I feel bad about asking people, you know, to do things. I often just try and do it myself. So I didn't want to go down that route, pinning myself in to something I might not be able to actually pull off when I get to the edit. So I spoke to Vince and we ruled out a mask.
Yeah,
a mask of any sort, because obviously you can get your Chewie masks, you can get your Yoda masks, you know, and also kind of thought like a species that's not too obvious is quite interesting anyway. And the Deveronian, I guess, was in my mind, like you mentioned with the Mandalorian season one.
Yeah.
And also I've always, for me, it's always been, The one you see in the Mos Eisley Cantina in the original Star Wars film, that's always just been one of those first characters that sort of springs into my mind when someone says, you know, the Cantina. I don't know why, just that shot, that quite close-up shot of that Deveronian there, just with paler skin to Whomerus. Yeah. Whomerus is more like, is it Berg in The Mandalorian or Borg or Berg?
Berg.
More red.
Yeah.
So it kind of takes me back to childhood in a way as well, just that vision of the Deveronian who I relate to, the Cantina.
I love that connection. That is one of those shots. And that's Star Wars. It's a second on screen. It's in our hearts forever. So that works for me. When you finally got the horns on and you sat down to tape yourself, right? You probably were by yourself. Did you roll camera? Was Vince there? Or was that just you in the shed?
No. So this was like when we actually filmed it, we were towards the end of the first lockdown, which was the real serious lockdown when we were still figuring out, you know, what was going on in the world, what this disease really, you know, really means and how we can obviously work around it. So purely on my own. In hindsight, probably should have got Vince on FaceTime or something to direct me a little bit. But I had lights to sort out. I had cameras overheating. We had like a crazy hot spring in the UK.
Right.
no kind of fan in the room, face paint melting,
melting off,
camera overheating, horns drooping off me. It was, and that was the third time I had two failed attempts.
Okay.
I had two failed attempts. In fact, at some point I need to find, I've got the footage somewhere. I need to screenshot some of the terrible attempts. I mean, what I ended up with in terms of the face paint is okay.
That's good, man.
In fact, well, it's great compared to what I said. I've got to find, the footage and screenshot.
You've got to make that like a Patreon exclusive or something for you. It's the alt cut. It's like that Phantom, not the Phantom Menace, but the Phantom first edit of A New Hope, right? Where we only see a couple shots here and there, and it's part of Star Wars lore, you know?
Oh, it's dreadful. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, so, you know, like I just say, the way it's come out in terms of how Wimeris looks and how the studio looks, all things considered, it could have been a whole lot worse. It was a whole lot worse, you know? Yeah. And I had no, I've been to Comic Cons and what have you, but I'm not a cosplayer. I've never been big on Halloween. So, for me, it was a big thing having to do face paint and prosthetics as well. It was like a kind of like a bowl cap and then something on the brow and then the horns, obviously, and pointy ears. They weren't my real ears, you know, and then loads of red face paint.
I'm like you. I'm not a cosplayer, never much for Halloween, but so that's why it's even more impressive. I think you did a great job.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the actual writing process. And this is that thing I love discussing. If we're Star Wars fans, true and true. And sometimes I think it's easy for Star Wars fans to forget that it's okay to poke a little fun or have some fun around the world. The last few years, you know, the online discourse and debate, if that's even what you want to call it at times, other times just straight out harassment. Sometimes we all can kind of draw lines in the sand and get behind it. I'm guilty of that too. Of here, I'm a comedian by trade, but sometimes I'm like, no, do not make fun of Star Wars. Only the skipper can make fun of Gilligan. And then I just have to remind myself, like, it's okay. And you never poke fun. You're just having fun in the world, having fun with the characters. And this is a great example of that. So how did you approach the writing of the script? You going with episode one? How did you break it down in your mind? If you can share that.
Yeah. So, like I said before, I was talking to Vince. So Vince has worked with me on a lot of my YouTube projects, including The Empire Strikes Door, the documentary that you mentioned. And like I said, we were sort of pinging ideas about set on the John Oliver Last Week Tonight format. Mm. And it just seemed natural, not just from a kind of, you know, this is episode one in terms of the Star Wars Skywalker story, if you like.
Right.
It seemed natural to go with the prequels just because I imagined if you were a comedy writer, satire writer in that period of time living in the Star Wars universe,
right?
You know, all your Christmases have come at once every day of the week. There's just so much crazy, confusing, bad politics going on. So it just seemed right to start, not just because it's the first film in the Skywalker saga, but because it just seemed right and easier to start with the prequels, because there's a lot of comedy to be had with the amazingly confusing political storyline.
Look, I think you're doing a great job with the series of really looking at some of the big Lucas themes and looking at what he presented there. Whether or not every one of those themes or moments hit with the audiences, we know historically maybe they didn't, but there's a lot to dive into, to question. One of my favorite moments is you have a little run on Padme, a character we love. We celebrate Padme so much here at Force Center, but also this idea of like, she's a 14-year-old girl being asked to do this, and you got Fish Guy taking advantage. This is bad, and it's just fun that you really dive into some of that kind of stuff in the movie. So you're not just poking fun; you're actually having some purpose there. I love that.
And also Newt Gunray is a character we all love to hate anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. He's a jerk. He's a jerk. Horrible. Wimeris, you know, digs in deep on Newt. He roasts him, And that's a callback that follows throughout the three episodes. So we decided on doing three episodes for The Phantom Menace, and maybe we'll do three episodes for Attack of the Clones. And we just thought about what are the main events. And we wanted, like you said, we wanted to honor Star Wars in terms of being as factually correct as possible. But at the same time, we didn't want to completely restrict ourselves. So we made a couple of decisions. One was that we will include the odd real world reference purely for gags, you know, just because Vince hasn't seen the Clone Wars. He doesn't know the films as well as me. I'm working my way through the Clone Wars. I know the films better than Vince, not that it's a competition. But we're not Alex from Star Wars Explained who is involved, which we'll come on to in a moment. Yeah. So we kind of also decided that we're not going to get too caught up on being completely truthful to canon, you know, and then restricting ourselves when we think there might be a good gag. I think there's a few mistakes that we have made, which we didn't realize until it was too late, but there are a few mistakes or inaccuracies that are known about. Yeah. Vince would go off and do... we decided on three events. First was the invasion of Naboo. Second was pod racing.
Yeah.
And then we finish with the battle of Naboo. So even though, like, Wimeris is saying, last week we spoke about this week talking about that, we know there's not a week between those events, you know, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Yeah. We're not actually canon yet.
Yet.
Yeah, exactly.
I do think there needs to be more reporters and entertainment forms and service. Yet, I'm sure you'll get probably the odd, like, well, the Battle of Naboo happened 2 days after. Yeah. Have some fun. You truly are. Again, you're like George. Hey, George, here's the canon. That's not what my story needs. I'm going to go in this direction. That's what you need to do. You need to tell your stories. Yeah. Script writing process.
George,
go ahead. No, go ahead.
Sorry, because George wasn't. George said something about continuity, didn't he? Something disparaging about continuity.
Infamously not too concerned about it, but also kept with a lot. He had a lot of it. I think you go to those early drafts of the Star Wars, you see a lot of concepts like Naboo and Mace Windu and the Jedi Bend. It's all kind of there in his head. And just, you know, as you're making a film, you got to whittle things down. It's like adapting a novel. You're not going to hit every page. So I love that. I love that about George. And you know, Leia does have weird memories of a mother she never met, but hey, it's Force. The Force. I keep going to that Clone Wars episodes. We actually just reviewed her in Force Center, where Padme is on Alderaan on a balcony looking out. She's kind of sad, and she's beautifully sad. And maybe Leia picked up on that, and that's all. Now it all ties together for George.
Yeah, but then I have to say I like that, and I feel like I've become more like that through the process of making. Yeah. I become more like George Lucas through the process of making Lightspeed tonight. Because to begin with, I didn't like the idea of real world references. That was Vince's idea, because Vince did the first sort of skeleton draft, and we would then build it up together, add the meat to that skeleton.
Yeah.
And I didn't like the idea of the real world references. I wanted to keep it all in universe. And I was a little bit at first a bit kind of militant about keeping this completely, you know, true to canon, and just realized as we went on, don't worry about it. But I have that problem. Like, even now when it's done, at the moment, it's really only my subscriber base who've seen it. It's not gone beyond that. So I'm only expecting mostly nice comments. And I'm always happy to see, you know, constructive criticism as well. But people are focusing on, that was enjoyable, that was entertaining, 5 minutes. But I'm focusing on, oh, hang on, you can tell that's a bowl cap there. And the sound's gone a little bit funny for that split second there. And nobody's noticing those things, but I am, because I've stared at it for so long in the edit and hate it.
Well, there's the creative process in a nutshell
But then the scripts, once we got to that final stage with the two of us, we then sent them to yourself, and Alex from Star Wars Explained to take a look at.
Which was, you know, I love that, and I appreciate that faith in anything I think or say about Star Wars or jokes and comedy, and it was fun. And that's why, and I've seen all the cuts, at least, you know, I don't know, maybe you've done some final tweaks, but I think people are in store for, you know, for some even more fun. Yeah, no, it was great, and it was weird, and, you know, I think we even, Alex had an email exchange where it was like, hey, there's some modern references here, and, you know, how do you work it in? But I hope we gave you good notes, because I don't even know. I'm as a creator myself, it's like notes are, it's very vulnerable. It's very vulnerable. So I'm always hyper aware. And I just, I feel like the creator's got to trust their vision. And I knew you'd do that.
Yeah. But same time, I feel like, and this probably comes back to George again. I'm going to stop comparing myself to George Lucas here, although you started it.
I did.
He,
and I stand,
you know,
by
maybe. he was flexible in a sense with continuity, but then when you watch those prequel sort of behind the scenes making of type featurettes and then the documentary, he wasn't flexible when listening to others around him always, was he?
Yeah.
Quite often was sort of zoned in on his own vision. And there's a lot of good in that. But at the same time, sometimes it's good just to sort of step aside and listen to what people are saying. And I'm very much for that. And maybe I'm too easily swayed by others sometimes, actually. But I wanted to send to you and Alex, because you both obviously have great understanding of Star Wars. Alex, obviously, that's his thing. He's got to know his stuff. So
particularly
to Alex for the kind of keeping it as close to canon facts as possible.
Yeah.
And you, obviously, because you're a funny guy, Ken, with your comedy background as well. And I know also you're it's an Anglophile, people say. You know your Brit humor as well, don't you? So I know you get that kind of... side of comedy. To be honest, I think Alex questioned the real world references. He said the gags work, but it is a bit weird having the real world references, and that's completely true. And we did actually take one out. I think we had Lady Gaga one, which Alex actually singled out, and that's gone.
Which I gotta tell you, I don't disagree with Alex's assessment of that. I understand what he was saying, but it's like, real world or Lady Gaga, which one is more Star Wars like? I think Lady Gaga might have won for me.
We should have kept that in. I can't remember what it was now, that gag, but it's gone. Bjork's in though. So actually, there weren't many notes from you both. You both seemed pretty on board, and you gave, won't go into what you said, but it was an idea you had which is being taken into account for should we make more moving beyond these three episodes.
Yes.
Character development for Wamaris.
Do it. I'm big on the philosophy of comedy, and so Scrimshaw as well over here in Forsett are just where the joke comes from. What's the point of the joke? Alex Damon just released his Rogue Squadron audition video. I had some notes and takes on jokes and too, but I had the same type of thing to him. It's like, this should be your character's point of view, and that should be, you know, how you approach it. And so that's kind of where I went with you. I hope it's going forward, because it's the sprinklings of it are there with the Phantom Menace. But as we get towards Attack of the Clones, I want you to explore that. So I want you to go on and do more. Are you going to do more?
I don't know. I mean, probably, yeah. But like at the moment, I'm in that stage where I don't like it. You know, I'm still hurt from the edit. The edit was horrible. Every process apart from the writing has been horrible. I'm used to low views, so I'm thick-skinned enough in that regard. And I'm also at ease with the fact that this is a slow burner, this kind of series. You could find it in 5 years and it will still make just as much sense if you're a Star Wars fan, you know?
Evergreen.
So maybe by the time I retire, if I can ever retire, it might be a hit by then. I'd be happy with a little cult hit, a little minor cult hit online. That's fine. That's absolutely fine by me. So I don't know. At the moment, it's not because the views from the one episode are low. It's more I'm still in pain from the edit, and I'm still annoyed by the fact that I can see the bowl cap join on one side of his face and where the ears are, the fake half ears are attached. But at the same time, I've learned so much throughout the process. I've learned, I haven't learned the language from lockdown. I haven't ran a marathon or anything, but I have learned to stick horns on my head and, you know, make myself look a little bit like a Deveronian. So maybe I should honor that. And I've also worked out how to edit it quicker as well, a better sort of workflow. So maybe I should give that a go and make more, maybe.
But see, this is like me learning to cook with an air fryer during the lockdown. The first one I was unsure, the second one I burned myself, but then it's just easy. And now I have restaurant quality taquitos right there in my kitchen. You know how to do this. You can edit it. You can get those horns on easier. And I think I'm going to start an online campaign to make sure you go forth with this. I'm going to pressure.
Well, I was doing a live stream on the channel, on my channel earlier. And one of your Force Center listeners. Gaz Nottingham is his name on YouTube. Okay, I think on Force Center you know him as, because he told me to say hello and that he's your number one fan. I told him it's not a competition, but he claims to be your number one fan. I think it's Gareth_Vader, I think he said, or Darth.
Gareth Vader. He just had a great question on our main show this past week at the time of this recording. No. So yeah, I know Gareth. Who doesn't know Gareth?
Well, we all know Gareth.
We all know Gareth.
Yeah, the two of us in this conversation know Gareth. He started a hashtag on the live stream, which goes out to like 30 people, of Make Wimeris What Canon. So maybe there's a bigger goal here.
I think that's it, because there are some mentions of and characters or reporters, even in the modern canon, and there may be more in Legends. But, you know, how do the people in the galaxy get their news, get their entertainment? I want to know. I know it's a holocron or, you know, a holo news net or whatever. Not a holocron unless you're Jedi or Sith. I get it. But, yeah, it makes sense. I could see this character existing in Star Wars.
Well, someone sent me, when I started teasing, I did that classic thing where you're excited about a project when you realize you're actually going to do this and it's a bit interesting and everyone's absolutely going to love it. You start teasing, and that's before you realize it's going to be an absolute nightmare to make. So you've started teasing something's coming soon, 5 months before it actually does arrive, 3 lockdowns later. I started doing that. And someone, this must have been a little bit further down the line, I'd filmed it because I did like a sort of screen grab but silhouetted it a bit. You could see it was Deveronian because of the horns, and someone sent me an image of a Deveronian news reporter sort of animated. And I was like, oh my God, no, no, I hadn't seen this. And now people are going to think I've just copied that.
Right.
And I believe it's from Detours, so it's not seen the light of day yet.
Okay. Yet, yeah. I don't know, yeah. That'd be great. Yeah, it makes sense. See, then, you know, great comedic minds think alike. It's awesome. Wrapping up here with the great Jamie Stangroom. Again, a lot of you here in Force Center might be hearing about this project for the first time through us. Make sure you go to Jamie's YouTube channel. I always say go to Jamie's YouTube channel because you got some spectacular interviews. You've got some recent ones that are just really awesome with these, the actors that kind of make up the Star Wars galaxy. And then they also need to seek out The Empire Strikes Door here. So we'll promo even a little bit more at the end here. But in closing, Jamie, what have you learned through this writing process with these three episodes of Lightspeed Tonight, focusing on the Phantom Menace? Have you learned anything new? Have you gained any new appreciation of the Phantom Menace?
I think I have, because my youngish mind, when the Phantom Menace came out, was all in for the lightsaber duels and the pod race, but it did not understand what the hell was going on throughout the rest of it. Sure. However, going back to it and really going deep into it in terms of having to watch it and go beyond watching it and researching, you know, what happened with Newt Gunray after the Phantom Menace, you know, because there's a little line in Attack of the Clones that he got away with it in the court. So going to find out what really happened, to sort of think about what we might write in the future. It's given me a new kind of angle on it and an appreciation of, actually, even though it might have seemed confusing at the time to me, at least. There was some clever writing and such a rich tapestry of storytelling from George Lucas that in some ways the adults that should have understood the political side of it were probably waiting for the action, were only there for the action. But really there was a film there for grown-ups, for kids, you know.
Yeah.
But it just didn't seem to hit the mark at the time.
I love it. I love what you're saying about it, and I think that's pretty valuable. It's a lesson of choices for children as you go on your journey and what you're going to face. But also, George is telling us, hey, be careful about trusting those big organizations and governments, and they can eat themselves in their quest for power. So, yeah, it's all there, and I think satire and parody can kind of bring that out sometimes, you know.
I agree.
All right. Thank you, Jamie, for taking time. I know you're in your shack, and that could either be too cold or too warm, your studio shack. Have you named it? Is it just Studio Shack? Stangroom Studio Shack?
I haven't, but maybe you just have named it, but I won't be using it after a few months' time. So we'll have to make the most of it for the next few months with its new name. What was it? Stangroom Shack?
Stangroom Studio Shack.
Stangroom Studio Shack. Yeah.
Patent pending. Where exactly can they find this and all the things you do? Tell the Force Center friends where they can track you down.
Yeah, thank you. So the YouTube channel is called The Geekend. So like the rapper Weekend, ND, it's the Geek. Yeah. ND, youtube.com, The Geekend. My name is also in the title at the moment. It'll be removed at some point because the channel previously was named after me because of my massive ego.
Sure.
But I kept my name in, you know, for familiarity as we transition to this new phase. And it's, like you said, Ken, mostly Star Wars, but we do non-Star Wars too. But that's where Lightspeed Tonight is and all the other stuff you mentioned.
And that's a brave thing, stepping outside an area you know so well. So hopefully, and you do some great location videos. I've seen you do that too, going to, you might not be doing reaction videos, but you do go to where they shot Walking Dead, and it was an interesting little thing. So there you go. So check it all out, everybody. Really appreciate Jamie coming in here for another episode of Spotlight Star Wars. I'll be back in a moment, my friends.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Thanks again to Jamie Stangroom for coming back to Force Center. And hey, if you out there listening haven't checked Jamie's channel out, I really, really suggest you do follow him at Jamie Stangroom on Twitter and all the places where you can follow him. But go to the YouTube channel, The Geekend, and give him a sub. And Jamie's looking to maybe go beyond some just Star Wars related content. He does have some stuff up there that's not Star Wars and always has kind of done that. But he, you know, much like me, you know, he's known for Star Wars, and you can do other things and people are going to say, yeah. But what about Star Wars? I just can't recommend his Star Wars stuff enough. Great interviews with cast members from all the movies, all over the place. He really, really is able to find some just great personalities that dot the Star Wars landscape. And if you haven't checked out The Empire Strikes Storm, do that. And if you're not familiar with it, it's a simple concept. You know, the stormtrooper that hit his head in New Hope on the door there? Who's the actor that was playing that stormtrooper? It's disputed. It's never been really confirmed. And Jamie does an investigative documentary report on it and has some pretty amazing findings on part of the jury there that renders a decision there of many people in there, Joseph and Jennifer as well. So give it a check out. Check it out. You know, go watch it. You know how it works here. Hey, I wanted to, Jamie talked about kind of rediscovering some of the things in The Phantom Menace as he digs in a little bit deeper. And that's something that's close to our heart here at Force Center, of just kind of always reanalyzing and taking deeper looks into Star Wars. Not that you can't stop and enjoy it on the surface, and not that Star Wars shouldn't pull you in on the surface. I think there's an expectation that should be the case, that you shouldn't have to dig so deep to appreciate it. But I think the digging doesn't need to go that deep with Star Wars if you're a fan. But Jamie touched upon that, and it made me pull out this little fascinating fact from the book Star Wars Fascinating Facts, Story, Lore, and History from the Greatest Galaxy. Pablo Hidalgo wrote this, as you all know, and he had this little thing to say here. It's just got a nice picture of Anakin from Revenge of the Sith, and it says, a new Vader vantage point. Thought this was interesting. Pablo writes, George Lucas said part of his goal with the creation of the prequel trilogy was to change the audience's perspective of Darth Vader in the first trilogy. In 4, George says, people didn't know whether Vader was a robot or a monster, or if there was anybody in there. This way, when you see him walk into the spaceship in Episode 4, you're going to say, oh my God, that's Anakin. The poor guy is still stuck in his suit. So the tension and drama is completely reversed. And I got to tell you, I really support George on that. Now, I am someone who has experienced Star Wars in the 4, 5, and 6 original trilogy order. And yeah, it's different. And Vader walks in and he is the monster. and he is scary and he is intriguing. And then maybe you start to, you know, get a little attachment to Vader, form an affinity and love of Vader in a weird way. We talk about rooting for the villains sometimes here in Star Wars, and Star Wars kind of, you know, it's just sometimes down to the design. The designs of the villains sometimes are so darn cool. Like I always say, bad guys seem to have the cooler toys. It works in G.I. Joe like that too, and so does in Star Wars. But George has always said, we've talked about it here before in this channel, that maybe people miss the point. And I wanted to go back and tell that story. And we can poke fun at George changing his tune, changing his story, changing his own canon. But this angle has always worked for me. Now, I would still suggest to someone, if they're very, very new to Star Wars of any age, well, maybe, you know, two or three, give it a few years. But, you know, if you want to sit down and watch the movies and you're not familiar, I start with four. Start with episode four. Go in release order. Just kind of how the story rolled out for all of us. And I think it still works that way. I think you get to Return of the Jedi and the mask comes off and you want to know a little bit more about that. But I also think there's great power in the fall of Anakin and the big lessons there. We talk about the choices that you are asked to make and the choices that maybe destiny brings you to. That's big to Star Wars. And Anakin might be the biggest lesson of them all. And I love that George had that. I love, and I think it kind of works that way, where you maybe don't have the fear of Vader. Maybe it's a different feeling. And I think it's important for there to be a little fear, but I think the fear should be for Palpatine. If you're familiar with the story going into four, and or you've watched one, two, and three at this point, and maybe taken in the Clone Wars, Palpatine's the bad guy. Palpatine's the villain. Oh, Vader's done a lot of bad things. And I don't know if Vader's redemption is, you know, easily given and easily earned, but Palpatine's the bad guy. The Emperor, that's the bad guy. You should be afraid of the bad guy. And Vader, maybe look at him a little different. Doesn't excuse his stuff. We love taking that conversation to the real world pretty fast with Vader. It's a big lesson. It's a fable. It's a myth. Don't take everything Vader does to heart. It's a fictional character. But when Vader walks in to that blockade runner, you might understand the position he's in a little bit more. You might understand his fears, his angers, and it leads to a little bit of a different story there. So just simple thoughts on that there. Something I thought was appropriate to the conversation that Jamie and I had, where he kind of revisited episode one as he was writing about episode one. So curious to what you think about that, and should George have done that? Maybe he should have just gone back to the prequels and made them all whiz-bang, pew-pew-pew, big badass characters. Maybe he should have done a Revan film. I don't know. I really love what George did with the story of Anakin Skywalker, and that is a big lesson that I can still take to heart and still learn from. So that is it for this week, Spotlight Star Wars. Thanks for listening. Thanks again to Jamie Stangroom. Give him a sub over at the Geek End. Thanks for listening to us. And those who maybe watched the Jamie interview on YouTube and came over here to find the full podcast and the rest of our podcast is welcome. You can find us on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We're on Instagram, YouTube as well, obviously, on Facebook at Force Center Podcast. You can get an audiobook on us by going to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter and get some merch at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. And don't forget, if you want, if you're interested, you can support us directly on Patreon at patreon.com/ForceCenter. That's it for this week. We'll see you next time here on Spotlight Star Wars.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter.
Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.